Hello, and welcome to TwerpCast episode 54.
Episode 54, where are you?
This is our fifth annual fall cast. Thanks for staying with us, you poor masochistic boobs. I mean, loyal listeners. I'd like to introduce you to the man least likely to be a network TV executive, James Caswell, executive producer of TwerpCast.
It's only because I have better taste than they do.
And with us today, the special guest correspondent, Ken Halloran.
Hi. Yeah, I finally made it to one of your fall casts.
Well, that's because you actually started watching TV.
Oh, yeah, there is that.
And he is Doug Zeitlin, co-executive producer of Twerps, and, well, overall a nice guy. I'll take pity on him this week.
Somebody has to. We'll be focusing on network TV during the 2011-2012 season.
Yes, ladies and gentlemen, we are looking at yet another year of new programming, or recycled garbage, depending on your point of view.
A little bit of both. A little bit from column A, a little bit from column B.
Throw it into the grinder, plant it on your flowers in the spring, and you'll have a very nice garden.
So we're going to discuss shows that are coming up in the new season. We'll discuss mid-season replacements.
Well, I know my favorite mid-season replacement was The Cape. Unfortunately, it was canceled after 10 episodes.
It was put through the NBC grinder pretty quickly, and it had such good potential.
And Summer Glau.
But it just failed so miserably. So, starting off with new genre shows.
One of the things that you'll probably notice is that fantasy has officially replaced science fiction as the new flavor of the month.
Yeah. Very little sci-fi coming out this year, but thanks to the Twilight fanatics, fantasy is in full swing.
Which, ironically, because it's television, they've actually missed the boat. The Twilight pendulum is swinging the other direction now.
Yeah, that's the weird thing about TV. They try to get on the boat. They always get on the boat after it's been hit by the iceberg and has started sinking. So, Doug, what are the new fantasy slash science fiction shows coming out this year?
Let's see. We've got our choices of Once Upon a Time, The Secret Circle, A Gifted Man, and Grimm. There's still some sci-fi shows in there. Terra Nova and the pseudo-sci-fi Alcatraz and Ringer.
Yeah, it's going to be a weird year for me because I'm only interested in one of those shows and none of them are sci-fi.
I don't know that I've heard of any of these. Well, maybe Terra Nova, but I don't know anything about it.
Terra Nova's concept is that it's made by Steven Spielberg. Oh, and it's also humans traveling back in time to dinosaur times because they've already destroyed the Earth once, and they're going back to try to fix things.
Okay.
Does anybody else wonder when Steven Spielberg lost his touch?
Everyone in this room is one handshake away from the editor of that show. And I'm not going to say what the editor had to say about it, because I don't want to get anyone fired.
So, basically what you're saying is, you're going to pass.
No, I'm going to watch it. I am...
He's obligated.
He's also the one who enjoys B-movies, and yeah, it has a certain amount of sense to it.
I have a masochistic streak a mile long.
We know, we've met your wife.
No, honestly, the only show on that list that holds any interest to me whatsoever is Grimm. And unfortunately, I don't know if that vague interest is even going to be enough to get me to watch it, because it's up against three other shows that I enjoy. The networks are continuing with their procedure of putting everything that's sci-fi or fantasy-related all on the same night on Friday nights.
Well, that's based on the idea that it's going to primarily appeal to people who don't go out on Fridays, so I'll put it on then. And it's the rather foolish thought that, okay, yeah, let's try to corner the market and get people to watch our show and not their show, which all it does is give everybody a smaller piece of the market, which will kill all the shows.
Mm-hmm. It's not called the death slot for nothing. Once Upon a Time deals with a suburb where all the fairy tales live in a modern-day setting.
Oh, kind of like Fables, but for TV.
Yeah, kind of like Happily Ever After, only not a sitcom. The Secret Circle is a story about a girl who moves to Washington and learns that she comes from a family of witches. Oh, and it's a CW show, too, so that's pretty much a kiss of death.
I don't know, look at the Vampire Diaries.
No, I meant a kiss of death in my opinion. The CW will eat it up and run it for 20-plus years, but I wouldn't touch it with a 10-foot pole. A Gifted Man is about a surgeon who...
who learns that he has secret superpowers.
No, he's haunted by the ghost of his ex-wife, and she's basically haunting him to do nice things for other people. The thing that I find actually kind of funny about this is that the lead character's name is Michael Holt.
Michael Holt, haunted by the spirit of his dead wife?
Yes, and being a very skilled surgeon and practically a genius.
Yeah, are they just looking to get sued by Warner Brothers? For those of you who aren't aware, Michael Holt is the real name of a comic book character called Mr. Terrific, who is also haunted by the spirit of his dead wife and is supposed to be the third smartest man in the world or something.
Yeah, I think somebody didn't do a lot of research on this one.
Or did a lot of research and haven't given him proper credit. I believe that's called plagiarism.
On the plus side, it has Julie Benz in it, but that's not going to be enough to get me to watch it.
I like how Julie Benz.
So did Dexter. Then you've got Grimm, which is a modern-day take on the ghoul hunter-type concept where the brothers Grimm were actually monster hunters, and now their descendant is having to take on the role, and they're going after trolls and things like that.
Well, with a title like Grimm, I thought it was going to have a similar premise to Once Upon a Time.
In a lot of ways, I think they do kind of have similar overlaps, but on different networks.
Like the Grimm version of Cinderella has the sisters cutting off their toes to be able to fit their feet into the shoe and wonderful, gruesome stuff like that.
Yeah, Walt couldn't get away with that.
Oh, sure he could. He's Walt Disney. He could have gotten away with it if he tried.
It's Walt Disney at the beginning of his career.
There's a reason why things are called Buena Vista Pictures as opposed to Walt Disney Pictures.
Monstro scared the hell out of me in Pinocchio. I'll just have you know that.
And then in the mid-season, you're going to have Alcatraz, which is going to be a J.J. Abrams executive-produced project, which a lot of people have been comparing it to Lost, but...
yeah, it's got an island.
And people who have disappeared and are now coming back after many, many years of being gone. But just because it has disappearing people and J.J. Abrams doesn't make it the next Lost. And then you've got Ringer, which everybody's making a big deal out of the fact that it's Sarah Michelle Gellar's return to television, but honestly, even though it's on the CW, I really don't give it beyond a year. The concept is that a twin comes on in and takes her sister's place to live her life because she's disappeared. And unfortunately, there's a lot of shows that are coming out this year that just don't seem like they have much beyond a one-year shelf life, if that. Of course, honestly, looking at this list, I think there's a pretty good chance that all of them have a very short shelf life. I don't see much of anything here being the next big thing that's going to last 10 years.
But the thing is, we're looking at it from a tilted point of view. We're coming in from the sci-fi aspect. Drama does have its own following, so you may find a show like Pan Am does terrific and is around for 5 years. And look at a show like Mad Men. Which, essentially, I think Pan Am is trying to be Mad Men for network television.
That and probably the Playboy Club probably falls into that same category, too. The idea of a 60s lifestyle being portrayed on TV.
But with a slightly harsher look than it had been given previously.
Right.
And lots of boobs.
Of course, there have been a lot of protesters against the Playboy Club already giving it publicity, so I think it could go either way. I think there will be a lot of people who will tune in to see what all the hype has been about, but whether or not that hype can turn into actual weekly viewers, there's no way to tell yet.
Is Pan Am going to have a pilot episode?
In the medical drama field, they're going to have Heart of Dixie, which I'm actually kind of surprised because usually they release a lot more medical dramas than just one. That must be on the downswing even in television now. Of course, most of the medical dramas these days are like Grey's Anatomy, which are basically soaps set in a hospital. But yet they're canceling General Hospital. Anyway, crime and legal dramas are still very popular. You have The Firm coming out, which is a take on the John Grisham novel. You have Unforgettable, which is about a female police detective who can't forget anything.
Wait, what was that one after The Firm?
Unforgettable... that's what it's not. You've got Revenge, Person of Interest, which has the selling point of having Maria Bello as the lead, as a woman who gets beat up a lot. How that's become a selling point, I don't know. you got The Finder, which is actually one that I'm going to tune into. Probably only because it got its backdoor pilot in Bones, and I really like Bones. But it piqued my interest enough that I'll at least give it a shot. Prime Suspect and Charlie's Angels, which will feature in its own Torpcast later. Now, the weird part for me is that there's actually a couple of comedies that have slightly piqued my interest.
Yes, Napoleon Dynamite. Cha-ching!
No. Napoleon Dynamite is actually coming out as a half-hour animated sitcom, which just the concept of that hurts my head.
It's kind of like having Kevin Smith's Clerks as a half-hour animated sitcom.
Yeah, and that worked so well for them. Alan Gregory, which is just an odd concept. It's the animated adventures of a preschool genius who has two fathers and has fallen in love with his preschool teacher.
And what's his name?
Now, it's being created and voiced by Jonah Hill, which is probably best known for his part in Superbad. And honestly, I don't find him that funny, and the concept just has no appeal to me. So the fact that it only has a 7-episode run to start out is actually a good sign, and I'm really hoping it doesn't even make it to the 7. Now, one of the ones that did slightly pique my interest was Two Broke Girls, which is going to be starring Kat Dennings, which, while her most recent film was in Thor, as Jane Foster's best friend. But I'm not going to hold that against her. I've seen her in several comedies. I think she's funny. Her being in the lead is actually enough to make me at least catch the pilot episode.
Yeah, Kat Dennings and Summer McGlough, you'd have a winner.
Yes. Last Man Standing is...
Wasn't that the basic concept of the TV show in Running Man?
No. It's the new Tim Allen TV show, where, as far as I can tell, he's trying to do the home improvement thing again for a new generation, and I honestly don't know how well that's going to work for him. Tim Allen was funny in the 90s. I don't know how relevant he's going to be in the 10s.
Nostalgia's 20 years old.
Which is probably the reason why they're giving him a show. You've got Man Up, the story of a lone man in a house full of women, so of course he's always going to be wrong. I'll pass.
No, I think you were the model.
So in other words, I'm always wrong.
According to your sisters.
Apartment 23, about two women who are basically an odd couple type situation. They can't stand each other, but they're living together. The New Girl, which is Zooey Deschanel's new TV show. That one I may give a shot, just because of Zooey Deschanel, although I've already established in previous Torpcasts that Zooey Deschanel plays Zooey Deschanel. Suburgatory, which is a sitcom about living in a perfect suburb that isn't perfect. Think a comedic version of The Stepford Wives.
My guy's tried that once.
I Hate My Teenage Daughter, which is the story of women who don't like their daughters because they're bullies and they didn't like being bullied as teenagers. Up All Night, which is Christina Applegate's new show.
Wasn't that the name of the show that Rhonda Shearer did in the 90s on USA?
Yes, it was.
And everyone in this room is one handshake away from the editor of the pilot episode.
Up All Night is one of those shows that I don't see how long it can actually maintain as a TV show. Because the whole concept behind it is these two parents who are sleep-deprived because of their newborn infant. Well, babies grow up.
Yeah, but then you have neighbors that move in that play music all night long.
Okay, that handles season 2. You can do season 3 with them getting pregnant again.
Actually, the one where she gets pregnant again, he's only up for about 15 minutes.
But this just seems like a running gag. A one-shot wonder, and I don't really see it lasting that long.
Basically, it sounds like they're probably counting on Christina Applegate to carry it.
Yeah, Christina Applegate and Will Arnett to carry this thing, but I still don't see it sticking around that long. Free Agents is another one that I'm thinking about at least giving the pilot a chance, just because it has Hank Azaria and Catherine Hahn in it. I mean, it has Hank Azaria in it. It's got to have at least some comedic value to it. It's a story of two people who have just gotten out of relationships, one of them by divorce and the other one by spousal death, who have a one-night hookup and then have to suffer from the repercussions of that because they work together and whether or not they want to pursue a relationship or not. Doesn't sound necessarily like something I would normally tune into, but I'll give Hank Azaria a pilot viewing. Then you've got How to Be a Gentleman, which is another Men Are Wrong sitcom. And you've got Whitney, which stars Whitney Cummings, and if that name isn't enough to make you at least snicker, well, you probably won't enjoy her TV show. But she's been making the roast rounds and has at least come across as being mildly humorous, so I might give it a shot. Which, it just goes to show how kind of desperate this season is that I'm actually giving thought to watching some of the new comedies. How about you, Doug? You got anything new that is particularly sparking your interest?
Really, it looks like the only thing that I'll be picking up is Charlie's Angels and possibly The Finder. Outside of that, there was really nothing that even mildly interested me. I could end up with watching all shows that are rehashes. I'm watching Hawaii Five-0 and Charlie's Angels.
Well, it's funny because CBS is actually one of the few stations that still have franchises going on. The franchises were really big even just a couple of years ago. You had the Law & Order franchise for NBC. You have the CSI franchise for CBS.
NCIS.
NCIS is a franchise for CBS. They even tried to make a franchise out of Criminal Minds, and that one kind of failed miserably. But I'm wondering, when is CBS going to come out with its next big franchise? I can just see it now. Hawaii Five-0, Los Angeles. Ken, anything really spark your interest?
No, but then again, most of this list I only became familiar with when I started looking at the outline you handed me when I came in. Except for Charlie's Angels, but I'd already heard about that.
Yeah, I think this year I'm being a little bit more experimental with what I'm willing to at least give a shot. But that's mainly because there have been shows that I've apparently missed out on, like Chuck, because I wasn't willing to give them a shot, even though it was something that I might have enjoyed. So I think I'm trying to spread my net a little bit further out this time to give things a little bit more of a chance. I think a lot of it's going to fail, but at least I'm going to give it a shot. Of course, I thought Chuck was going to fail, too, and now we are 5 years later, and one of the people in this room is a diehard fan.
Yeah, and I came in late.
Technically, Chuck is a failed show. It's a show that's had to be saved every season.
Yeah, it's true. I think this is the first year that they've actually ended the season saying, yes, there is going to be a next season, we know this. And they know they're going to be finishing up this season saying, no, there's not!
Speaking of shows that didn't make it, we take our hats off for a moment of silence for shows that were in the genre and didn't make it. Shows like No Ordinary Family, which I did watch the entire season, and I actually thought it might stand a chance of getting renewed, until it didn't. V, which we called it a while ago, it was kind of doomed from the start, and I think ABC was even shocked that they gave it a second season. Flashpoint, which was so bad that DC used the title for their most recent epic fail. Human Target was canceled after its second season. The Cape didn't make it a full half season. The Event, who cared? And of course, Smallville signed off the air finally. Although, I will say that its 10th season was the best of the past 3 or 4.
I would agree with that. Season 10 was a pretty good run of television.
We do have some genre shows that are coming back this year. We have Nikita, Supernatural, The Vampire Diaries, Fringe, and Chuck. Which, I enjoyed Nikita, although if they follow the season finale, it's going to take a severe right-hand turn, and it'll be interesting to see what direction they take it. And of course, we've been watching Fringe. My big question on that is, when are they going to bring back Peter Bishop?
They say he's going to be in the show a lot less this year.
And of course, Chuck.
I know what I'm looking forward to seeing, but I don't want to spoil it for anyone who hasn't seen the end of last season yet.
Understood. Make sure that you watch the end of last season before you tune in this season. Some any genre shows that you're looking forward to?
Oh, I'd like to see Nikita. I'd like to see Fringe. Eventually I'll get around to watching Chuck. I've watched the first 2 episodes now.
You're about 2 episodes ahead of me, so. Of course, I think I'm going to wait until season 5 is over and done and Ken's bought that season and just borrow all 5 seasons from him at once. Non-genre shows that I'm looking forward to include Castle, Bones, CSI, pretty much the same ones that I've had for the past 5 years.
Yeah, I'll still be watching Castle and Bones.
I'm looking forward to NCIS again.
Now, do you watch the NCIS Los Angeles? It was one of those weird things because, as I mentioned earlier, they tried to make a franchise out of Criminal Minds. And Criminal Minds has actually been fairly popular over the years. And the spinoff just bombed miserably for them, which I think is the first time in quite some time that the franchise has bottomed out on somebody. I know that Law & Order has been kind of dropping off for a little while now. And I know that there was one that made it a half season and then got shipped over to USA. But for the most part, it was a fairly successful franchise for many, many years.
Yeah. In the case of NCIS Los Angeles, the one thing that they're doing differently with it than they've done with others is the fact that they actually just show NCIS and NCIS Los Angeles back to back. Law & Order were always on different nights. The CSIs are on different nights. I think the Criminal Minds were on different nights. But with NCIS, it's more of a case of, okay, I'm sitting down with a family, we're watching NCIS. If we don't want to get up right away, sure, we'll watch NCIS Los Angeles. It's not as strong a show, but it's watchable. But I don't know if we'd sit down to watch it if we weren't already watching.
So, not a whole lot is changing in that regard. As far as the past summer went, most of the shows that I watched were the same ones that I'd watched the previous summer. Still enjoy Burn Notice, Royal Pains, Psych. I'm really getting kind of psyched about a new Psych season.
Leverage. Still really enjoy Leverage. Still grateful for that one handshake.
And Sci-Fi did produce a new show this summer called Alphas, but in comparison to Heroes and No Ordinary Family and The Cape, well, it's better than The Cape.
That is like Alphas. I haven't actually sat and watched it, though.
I've seen every episode. I've kind of felt the same way about it that I felt about the first season of Haven. It was kind of one of those things of, oh, I'll see how I like it. Well, I don't hate it. Well, I'll keep on watching it.
That's still how I feel about Haven. Which, I have to say, season 2 really ticked me off, because the season 1 cliffhanger, they bring in Audrey 2. You know, Audrey 1 is Emily Rose, you know, Audrey 2 with the new actress, and then 4 episodes into it, without explaining why there's 2 Audreys, they just wrote one of them off.
And the funny thing is that they were actually doing a pretty nice job of setting up that the one that we knew as Audrey was probably the imposter, and how all of her memories were fake, and actually kind of opening a bit of a mystery. And then they wrote off Audrey 2, and nothing has been said about it since then. It's like, hey, we were actually making people think here. We gotta stop that.
And in place of Audrey 2, they brought in Jason Priestley.
As a love interest.
And I have to say, as an actor, he makes acting look bad.
His character has the gift of having everybody like him, except for those people who are watching the TV show. Although he does do a pretty decent job of playing a despicable human being.
That's not acting. I'd like to see him acting opposite Zooey Deschanel.
That's where he belongs.
Yeah, she could really use somebody that makes her look good. So, that's our picks. Good or bad. Mostly bad.
As always, we welcome your feedback. Please write Jim at MySpace, Zynga, and Twitter.
This has been a production of Time Well Electronic Recording Productions, copyright 2011.
D-Plane! D-Plane!